Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Pat from Kent is. Pat, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Pat is ready to rock this thing, Steve Migs, so you better get out of the studio.
Bye-bye.
For those who are playing along at home, Pat will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yep.
In the world of fast food, what color are Wendy's hair ribbons?
Red?
No.
Blue?
Yes. Alaska shares a land border with what country?
Canada.
Yes. In Saving Private Ryan, who played the title role?
Matt Damon.
That's correct. What mammal's most common species is the bottlenose?
Dolphin.
Yes. How many points is the outer white ring of an Olympic archery target worth?
10?
No.
5?
No.
20.
No. Which rapper gave us Gangsta's Paradise?
Coolio?
Correct. The Twin Cities are St. Paul and what neighboring city?
Minneapolis.
Correct. What letter is the most used in the English language?
E.
Yes. What toy allowed children to make insect-shaped gummy candy with a mold?
Incredible Edibles?
No.
Ooh, pass.
What are your grinding teeth called?
Molars.
Yeah. Holy smokes. You got 8 correct, Pat. Very impressive.
That candy question was like memory unlocked.
I know.
Me. Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's been a minute.
Ooh.
Steve Migs, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Are you ready?
Showtime.
In the world of fast food, what color are Wendy's hair ribbons?
Aren't they red?
They are not.
Oh, crap. Blue.
Yes. Alaska shares a land border with what country?
Alaska, Russia.
No.
America.
No.
Hawaii.
No.
I don't know.
In Saving Private Ryan, who played the title role?
Tom Hanks.
No.
Oh, crap. Ryan.
No.
I don't know. Peek behind the curtain. I can't find my blindfold, and it's messing me up. Uh-oh. I don't know why. Okay, continue.
Oh, here's your blindfold. What mammal's most common species is the bottlenose?
Rhinoceros?
No.
Elephant?
No.
Shark?
No. How many points is the outer white ring of an Olympic archery target worth?
100.
No.
50.
No.
25.
No. Which rapper gave us Gangsta's Paradise?
Coolio.
Yeah.
Let's go.
The Twin Cities are St. Paul and what neighboring city?
Minnesota.
No.
Minneapolis.
Yeah, there it is. What letter is the most used in the English language?
F.
No.
E?
Yes. Wow. Steve, 1, 2, 3, 4 correct. That is definitely a loss. 8-4. Congratulations, Pat.
Well, I'm now up 3-2-1.
Well, yeah. Isn't that special? You sabotaged me. You hid my blindfold.
I did not hide the blindfold. I just happened to notice it.
Right next to you.
Alaska shares a land border with Canada.
Oh, duh.
In Saving Private Ryan, Private Ryan is played by Matt Damon. The most common species of dolphins are called bottlenose.
Oh.
Neither of you knew that the outer white ring of an Olympic archery target is worth 1 point. One that you did not get to. Two that you did not get to. What toy allowed children to make insect-shaped gummy candy using a mold?
What?
Danny knows it.
No, I know it, but I can't think. Is it Creepy Crawlies?
Creepy Crawlers,
yes.
Good guess.
Memory unlocked for me. Those were so huge in the 90s.
Amazing.
I got to look this up.
One more for you, Steve. What are your grinding teeth called?
Your molars.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
You know, I kind of thought you might have wanted to prep yourself a little bit more this morning because our 7:50 game, you're going to be taking on a two-time Jeopardy champion.
This just made me even more nervous because clearly my brain is not functioning.
Well, we know for sure that Aaron Levine's is absolutely functioning and he's going to be playing with you at 7:50.
The Daily Mix Show.
We have a new feature on the Odyssey app that lets you leave us a voice message. And we get these messages on there that are so interesting, Steve.
Yes, one involves the ultimate troll that we, being Danny and I, can do to troll you, Taryn Daly.
Oh, can't wait for that.
And then somebody wants to talk about Halloween.
Slide into our VMs after Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Matt Damon.
Something got you bent, and now you need to vent, or you did something bad and you need to repent? Well, slide into our VMs. Yeah, baby, it's time to slide into our VMs.
We're sliding and sliding and sliding.
On the Daily Mix Show.
It is such a gift to wake up to voice messages from our listeners, Steve Miggs. Yeah. And you can be part of all that by heading over to your Odyssey app, look for the microphone icon, and you can leave us a VM. What is going on in there today?
Somebody has a great suggestion on how we control you.
Oh, great.
Taryn Daly.
For Taryn, Steve, and Danny, given those rush tickets, wouldn't it be ironic and funny if Castle decided to send Steve and Danny for a meet and greet when they come to town? Something to ponder. Period. Have a great day, all.
Awesome. Just give a punctuation in there. We live in a talk-to-text world now that he's leaving a voice message and still said period.
I will say, though, I have done two meet-and-greets in the past. So it's your turn. Really, honestly, it's your guys' turn.
That would be right up there with taking a picture with Scott Stapp, Danny.
Yes, it would. Have you guys ever seen so obviously Rush, I know the band because of I Karen. Love You Man.
Oh.
There's the movie I Love You Man. But then they did like a Funnier Die skit, Jason Segel and Paul Rudd, after where they get to meet the band. And that would just be me and Steve, like Steve eating one of their sandwiches.
Just ruining all the backstage
vibes. Getting kicked out.
Getting in their space. Like,
what are you guys doing here?
Danny and I are shotgunning a beer. Can we borrow somebody's keys? Hey, Getty, are you Getty or are you Alex? I'm not sure which one's which, but can one of you give me your keys? I just want to shotgun this beer. You in with us?
If you want to be really cool, though, call them by their nicknames, which they're Dirk and Lurkst. That's how you really win them over, guys.
Man, I'm calling them Getty. When Getty's not the strange name,
right?
That's pretty crazy. So would you be okay with that if we did the meet and greet, not you?
Oh, I would be pretty. I mean, I would be crushed, but I'd be happy for you guys.
Don't worry. We'd make sure we'd send you videos where they're like telling you to go F off and things like that. I feel like they have the sense of humor that they would play along with.
They do have a great sense of humor.
I mean, I also don't think they would be bothered that we're two non-fans because I've been reading a little bit and watching some of the videos of their new drummer.
Oh, yeah.
And they outright said, when we first started talking to her, she made it very clear she was not a fan of the band. She wasn't like anti-Rush, but she just, Rush was not in her world.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Now they're in the same sphere.
They are. And we're going to be hanging out with them, but not you.
Oh.
And then we could bond with the new drummer about how much we all don't like Rush.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding.
So I completely agree with Danny V.
Oh, great. Why are you playing this?
One person does.
I like this guy.
Halloween is not just a day. It is a lifestyle.
Okay.
And also for the Halloween parallel or Halloween adjacent songs, that Ian kid had no idea what he was talking about. And you know, from just the clues from the robot Vincent Price.
So yeah, yesterday we were playing Halloween adjacent songs in the rock world, different songs like, you know, from Iron Maiden and AC/DC's Highway to Hell and
Ozzy.
Rob Zombie. And we had robot Vincent Price describe them. And we had one guy calling who knew none of them, but he was like 20 something.
He was trying.
Yeah.
I got all except for the Iron Maiden one.
And you guys are awesome for playing Oingo Boingo's Dead Man's Party. I don't care what anyone says. I love Dead Man's Party.
So we got a lot of text messages and Facebook direct messages from people that were not happy that we were crapping on Oingo Boingo.
I was floored by the amount of support for Oingo Boingo and that we received.
People were especially annoyed with Danny because Danny's such a fan of like Nightmare Before Christmas and all Halloween stuff. And the front man of Oingo Boingo is Danny Elfman, who basically created the soundtrack to all of like the creepy sounds.
Okay, I never said that I didn't know who Oingo Boingo was. I didn't know the song, people. Okay?
So... this is so straight out of the 80s.
It is.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the video?
No.
So Danny Elfman's the front man, and when he shows up on the video, it almost feels like Dexter is the lead singer of Oingo Boingo. It's got a very, like...
it's creepy.
Yes.
It's unsettling.
Have you seen him recently, though? He still is creepy.
Oh, is he? Also, I forgot that this was in the soundtrack for Back to School, the Rodney Dangerfield song.
Oh, nice. Movie.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
Sounds like Weird Science. Do you guys remember
yeah.
that
oh,
movie?
Yeah.
Like where it's like Weird Science.
This is all during that era of music. Not my cup of tea, production-wise. It is crazy how that guy just went on to like pretty much make soundtracks for everything and have his handprint on like the last 30 years of pop culture.
I mean, that's the big moneymaker right there.
Mm-hmm.
More than this song.
I said it sounds like Weird Science. That's because Weird Science wrote Oingo Boingo. Or was written by Oingo Boingo.
See? Danny totally knows Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
Shows what we know. All right, we got time for one more voice message?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I still have pumpkins. Haven't carved them yet. But I am starting to watch my Christmas movies. Is anybody else doing that?
Oh, boy.
No.
Tatum is making us now listen to Christmas music in the car. And I'm like, I'm not ready for that just yet.
Not putting up my decorations, just watching my Hallmark. Thanks. Love your show.
I am not, I don't really do much Christmas decorating, Christmas movies, anything like that until December.
No.
It's overwhelming. It's too much.
I just don't care about Christmas music. I have to hear it enough as it is. But because Tam just loves Christmas music right now. But she also loves Halloween. So she wants to look at the Halloween decorations while we listen to Christmas music. It really does hurt my brain.
I mean, she picked two stellar holidays to be obsessed with. I like that.
Did you happen to see the video that's going viral, though, of Mariah Carey, who's even like, no, it's not time for Christmas yet?
She's still thawing out.
Not yet. Not yet.
I said not yet.
Not yet. It's not time yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, we still haven't celebrated Thanksgiving yet.
No, give Thanksgiving the respect it deserves.
Which seems like pretty much nothing if you go to stores. Like it's just Halloween straight to Christmas.
It's just a forgotten holiday and we got to change that.
All right. Well, what are we going to do about that?
We're going to make that t-shirt.
Okay, is that what we're going to do? We're going to make a Thanksgiving themed t-shirt and that's going to bring back the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Give the people what they're asking for, Steve.
All right, fine.
We know very few people who have been on Jeopardy, and we definitely don't know anyone who's been on Jeopardy and won. But Fox 13 sports director Aaron Levine has done just that, and we're going to recap his experience on Jeopardy at 7:20.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Miggs, I think between you and I, we don't really know many people that have been on Jeopardy.
I know one.
You know one person?
My buddy Krishna, he was on and he didn't win though.
Well, we definitely don't know anybody who's been on Jeopardy and won.
Yes.
And so we have Fox 13 sports director Aaron Levine on right now, and he did just that.
Welcome to Jeopardy. It was an emotional win yesterday for our new champion, Aaron Levine, who set a personal goal 6 years ago to appear on Jeopardy and then seemed visibly moved yesterday when he exceeded his goal by not only competing in but winning his game.
What a cool experience for you to get to do that.
Yeah, it was a dream come true for sure. It's been a long process, probably about 6.5 years of me starting getting involved in trivia, and I made it a long-term goal to have a chance to maybe be on Jeopardy one day, but to be a Jeopardy champion, I couldn't even describe the feeling.
Aaron, that's the part that I remember seeing on your Facebook page. You were posting, hey, this is why you probably haven't seen me around much. I've been focusing on studying for Jeopardy, and I'm like, how do you study for something that you, because you don't know what the categories are going to be. You don't know what angle they're going to go in. In the world of trivia and the world of just knowledge, it just seems like a daunting task to study for something like this.
Yeah, there's no question. You don't have a social life after you get the call from Jeopardy for the next 6 or 7 weeks of preparation. But it's been longer than that. Ever since I got into the trivia world, I started making index cards, physical cards, where I would write just facts and figures and give myself a decent foundation for trivia in general. Top 50 operas, top 50 paintings, top 50, top 50 songs from the 1990s. And ultimately, when I watch Jeopardy and I don't know an answer, I'll make a card. And I'm in a trivia match and I don't know an answer, I'll make a card. And now I'm left with about 28 to 30 shoeboxes full of physical index cards that I constantly have to go over because I do not have a photographic memory. So I have to go over them over and over again for them to just stick in my brain.
So did any of those moments or those keeping those cards and writing that stuff down, did it come in handy on your time doing Jeopardy?
Absolutely. The very first night, one of Shakespeare's sons with Anne Hathaway was named Hamnet.
Yes.
It wasn't Hamlet, but I remember it was close to Hamlet. I got that. I have a card on that. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison was definitely one of my cards as well. So studying certainly paid off. There are certain things that I went over in the last couple of weeks leading up to my tape date that certainly helped during the process of the show.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Aaron Levine of Fox 13. Aaron, you made us so proud on Jeopardy. It was one of the things that was so interesting to me is when we watch you on Fox 13, you're so jovial. You're talking sports. You got this smile on your face. Not the same look when you're competing on Jeopardy. You were so dialed in and so serious. What did you think watching that back?
It was really startling. I wanted to yell through the TV, hey, smile once in a while. You're actually a nice guy, I think. I mean, I thought I was so serious. I thought I was mean mugging Ken sometimes. And even when I got the Daily Doubles, I thought I was talking over him and interrupting him with my wagers. So, but I'm glad that at least at the very end, winning that game in Final Jeopardy, that first game, it's just like all the weight of the world is off of my shoulders, because that was the dream, was to be a Jeopardy champion. And I hope it came through the screen. In the post-game chat, I think I almost shed a tear or two because I was just so overwhelmed with emotion.
I'm glad you brought it up, because when I was watching it and there was that moment where you won and there was a look on your face and it didn't feel like you were mean mugging anyone. I could see it from my perspective that this was like a dream fulfilled. And it was just, it was really cool to see that look on your face. I think like it's not often that a lot of us get those moments where like you have a dream, you get to do it, and you don't fall on your face. You actually succeed at it. And that was awesome.
Listen, I mean, it was so important to me because I think about all the extra time, all the social functions you don't go to when preparing for this, and all the late nights and early mornings. It's also one reason why I think my heart was in my throat when the Mariners lost game 7 of the ALCS, and having to go into that clubhouse and interview some of the players that had clearly just been crying because they left it all on the field. And it's such a smaller scale to be talking about my experience on Jeopardy compared to these guys trying to make history and make it to the World Series. But in many ways, there was a small part of me that understood how these guys felt in that moment. And I wanted to, I just wanted to hug them. I like, you want to just embrace, just the whole, the emotions of all of it. And it really hit home.
I thought it was cool. So I mean, you came out swinging right from the get go. So I was like, okay, here's you're asserting your dominance right from the start. But I think one of the first question about the Olympic Peninsula, I was like, that's crazy.
It was. Yeah, and I was still in a haze at the start of the show, and I see the state of Washington, and I'm thinking, oh, I better not miss this.
Right.
And I come up with it in the middle of him answering or saying the question. Had I got that wrong, that could have put me in a really bad place psychologically, and I might not have recovered until, A, the first commercial break, and B, had I not gotten that right, I wouldn't have gone straight to the Daily Double on Second Clue.
I mean, that was definitely one of my favorite moments. Also, your final Jeopardy poker face. That was also one of my favorite moments. I felt like you were trying so hard not to smile because you knew that you were the champion.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I had wagered enough to cover any of my opponents. I mean, there's no better feeling in the world. My parents were in the audience. I had a couple of sisters and a brother-in-law in the audience also. It was just so great to be able to experience that with them.
I did want to ask you, it's a nerdy question, but, you know, being that it's not often that somebody that, you know, is a television personality gets to then perform and compete on Jeopardy from a competing station. And, you know, you're on Fox 13, and I know Jeopardy airs all on different stations across the country, but here in Washington, it airs on Como 4. Was that a tough conversation with your bosses, or were they like, yeah, we get it. It's a dream. We don't care that you're going on a different network.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give such props and thank my bosses here at Fox 13 for their support. I mean, something that came out before the first game on Monday, they sent out a push alert from the Fox 13 account to watch me on Como 4.
That's awesome.
It's just unprecedented, really. And for them to have done that means the world to me. Because, yeah, it was definitely, as I waited for a call for more than 4 years, being in the contestant pool, I was always wondering whether my status as a local news person in a similar market would be, you know, would be even chosen to be a contestant on the show, given the potential conflict with me being on a different station in town.
Aaron Levine, not only on Jeopardy, but won Jeopardy this week. And we know you best for all your insight on Seattle sports. So we were hoping that maybe you could hang with us for just a moment and chat a little bit Seahawks, a little bit Mariners with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are chatting with Seattle sports broadcaster from Fox 13, Aaron Levine, a Seattle sports know-it-all.
Jeopardy champion.
Also on Jeopardy, a champion.
You can forever say that. That's the coolest thing ever.
That's the one thing that I'd love to just, you know, put in the back pocket. And that's why I was so emotional after that win.
Could you just tell us what the feeling, like the level of pressure and nerves that are going through your body when you realize, okay, the intro's starting, I'm standing here, I'm actually on the show that I watched and I dreamt of being on.
There is an irony that the TV guy looked the most nervous and uncomfortable of the three contestants on the show on Monday. I mean, like, literally, I was nervous as hell. And it's just one of those things where you have to calm your nerves and deal with it and use all of that bundled up pressure and nerves to your advantage. But yeah, there were certain questions, I think, before the second commercial break at the end of the first round of Jeopardy, where there were certain clues that were going through one ear and out the other, and I didn't realize what Ken was even saying. Oh, because God. I'm like, what is happening here? I'm not understanding any of this, and I'm not about to buzz in.
Well, Aaron, you made us so proud on Monday night, so thank you for sharing about that experience. Another organization that made us feel really proud this year would be our Seattle Mariners. I know we didn't get exactly where we wanted to be, and it really felt like this was our year. But my goodness, I think everybody, at least in this room, we were just so proud to watch the growth that happened over the course of this last Mariners season.
Yeah, it's not just the growth, but the future of the organization also. To know that you have Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez locked up for a number of years to come, hopefully they'll be able to bring back Josh Naylor next year. Hopefully they'll be able to sign Logan Gilbert to a long-term deal. But in general, the young, talented core of this group is going to be together for many years to come, and hopefully it's something to build off of. You felt the pain in that clubhouse after Game 7 when they had a chance in Game 6 and 7 to make history and be the first team to make it to the World Series. Still, this team got further than they ever had before, and to be on that ride with them the entire way throughout the playoffs, that was such a magical run, and I think it's only going to motivate them more going forward starting next spring training.
And Aaron, I've always loved how you've always been vocal about your feelings about how the franchise has been run and how the Mariners have been going. And I've always thought that was just been so awesome just to hear your analysis over the years. As somebody who has followed this team and knows way more than we do when it comes to the team, what do you think is the missing ingredient? What do you think that they need to get over that hump? Because it does feel like we're so damn close. Eight outs away.
I've always said it. I think it's a little bit more money. I really do. I mean, unfortunately, ownership, and I believe continues to treat this team as though it is a mid-market team when it comes to payroll. And they ended the season with the 15th largest payroll in the league. And I know that money doesn't always equate to championships, but money certainly helps your odds of winning championships. Just look at the Dodgers right now. They have the highest payroll in all of baseball. I'm not saying be a top five payroll, but maybe extend your wallets at least a little bit more to bring the guys back who you absolutely need. And hopefully they look at this playoff run and the magic inside T-Mobile Park and the atmosphere in there and winning games in the 15th inning to advance. All of those things. Gino Suarez, grand slam home run in the fifth game of the ALCS. All those moments, you know what? You could have a lot more of them if you just maybe feel a little bit more uncomfortable with your spending, because ultimately you're going to make that money back based off of the revenue that you're bringing in during the playoffs.
I did see a guy with a sign on the side of the road that said, need money for Naylor. So I feel like all the fans are like ponying up. We're all here to help. Yeah. We want to see that happen as well.
I'll donate.
For sure. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the Seahawks as well, because, I mean, even with the Kraken starting off as well as they have and the Seahawks, I mean, it looks like they just keep getting stronger and stronger as the season goes along. How are you feeling about the second half of the season?
I'm feeling bullish. I've felt bullish about this team since the hire of Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
They came to the brink of the playoffs last year. I know there was some disappointment there. It's cool, though, to come out of the haze of the Mariners playoffs and to see that you have a 5-2 football team that's tied atop the NFC West. And when you look at their schedule, I think they could realistically go 7-3 the rest of the 10 games. That puts them at 12 wins. That contends them for the NFC West championship. And Richard Sherman said it last week. He thinks that the Seahawks are a Super Bowl contender. I wouldn't go that far at this point, but I think they have the tools. And McDonald's the right guy to get them there. I'm very excited about this team going forward.
I see. Aaron knows what he's talking about. I said at the beginning of the season, this is a 13-win team, give or take. And everyone laughed at me. And here we are talking about this team potentially getting 12 or 13 wins.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jaxon Smith-Njigba at this point is on pace to break Calvin Johnson's receiving record for a single season. It is amazing what he's done. And then there are a lot of Sam Darnold naysayers out there, a lot of skeptics. He's proven wrong so far this year. He has top 10 stats in almost every statistical category so far this year, so hopefully that continues.
It's crazy to think when they signed him, they're like, well, he's not going to do that well without a guy like Justin Jefferson to throw to, and then all of a sudden he's found this relationship with Jaxon Smith-Njigba that might, by the end of the year, he might be posting better numbers than he had with Jefferson.
Yeah, in many ways it also comes down to the new hire of Clint Kubiak as your offensive coordinator. I mean, it's a night and day between Ryan Grubb last year and Kubiak this year. He's protecting his quarterback a little bit more. Obviously, the offensive line's doing better, but I believe Darnold has the fourth lowest sack rate in the league. And when was the last time we talked about something like that in Seattle with our quarterback actually being protected and not being sacked 5-6 times a game?
We are chatting Seattle sports with Fox 13's Aaron Levine, who was just on Jeopardy and won. And Aaron, did you know that we have a trivia game?
Yeah, I did. I heard that.
Some say it's harder than Jeopardy.
Some do say that. Only Steve says that. But we were
Some have dreamt to be on this game as opposed to Jeopardy.
Aaron, we were hoping that you'd be able to stick around to play a quick game of Beat Migs with us.
Let's do it. Jeopardy was the warm-up for this.
I got to say, I watched you on Jeopardy. And when I knew that we were potentially going to be able to make this happen, I felt nerves. I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to go head-to-head with this man. He is so freaking smart, and he's crushing it on Jeopardy. I'm nervous.
It'll be Aaron Levine versus Migs at 7:50.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.